This evening we're going to be in a number of passages as we continue our study of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And this evening we're going to consider the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer through the written Word of God, the Bible. And so we're going to begin in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. You're going to need to keep your Bible handy. So we're going to go through a number of passages in considering these things. We'll begin in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. As I read these verses from John 14 and then from John 15 and then John 16, I want you to be mindful of the description of the Holy Spirit as the helper, but also as the Spirit of truth. John 14, verse 16 and 17, Jesus says to his disciples, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." And so in those verses, Jesus describes this one that he would give to his disciples, indeed this one he would give to us as well, to all believers, the helper who is called the Spirit of truth. Look in verse 26. Jesus says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Look in chapter 15, John 15, verses 26 and 27. Again, Jesus says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is," and here's how he qualifies him again, "the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning." And then John 16, verses 13 and 14. John 16, verses 13 and 14. "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you." Now in these verses, in John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus promises that he will send another helper. He is called the helper. It's translated in different ways depending on what version of the Bible you are reading. But the word helper, the Greek word, is parakletos. We call him the paraclete. And it means one that is called alongside of, to help. There's really no one word in English that captures the meaning of this Greek word. It conveys the idea of a helper, a comforter, a counselor, an exhorter, an intercessor, an encourager, and an advocate. All of those things is meant by that Greek word, parakletos. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Helper, comforter, counselor, exhorter, intercessor, encourager, and advocate. Now, how does the Holy Spirit help us? Well, notice that Jesus qualifies who this is by calling him the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. And I contend that the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer cannot be separated from the truth. And by the truth, I mean the written revelation of God, the written Word of God, the Bible. Now, when you consider the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you should think of the Bible. The Bible and the Holy Spirit's ministry really cannot be separated. And yet, that is what some people do. They seek guidance from the Holy Spirit or claim to be led by the Holy Spirit, often without the aid of the Scriptures. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is tied to, is bound to, the written Word of God, the Bible. I want you to consider these kinds of statements that believers sometimes make. Someone might say, well, the Holy Spirit led me to make that decision. Now, how would you respond if someone says that to you? Well, we might ask the question, how did the Holy Spirit lead you to make that decision? Did the Holy Spirit use the Word of God to give you wisdom to make that decision? Did you go to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit gave you understanding that the Word of God says that you should not do this or should do this? How did the Holy Spirit lead you? Or someone might say, I know this is the will of God. The Holy Spirit has shown me that this is the will of God. How would you respond to that? Well, you could ask the question, does the Word of God say it is the will of God? Because again, how do we know the will of God? How does the Holy Spirit indeed reveal to us what is the will of God? Well, it is bound, His ministry is bound to the truth of the written Word. Or someone may say, I know this is true. The Holy Spirit revealed it to me. We could say, well, the Holy Spirit has already revealed the truth in the Bible. What does it say? Or someone might even say, and I've heard these things as well, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. I just know what the Holy Spirit told me. Brethren, that's dangerous ground. And I've seen many believers led astray because they have separated the ministry of the Holy Spirit from the written Word of God, the Bible. Now, it may sound spiritual to say that the Holy Spirit spoke to you or led you to do this or that. But brethren, true spirituality is when we obey the written Word of God that the Holy Spirit Himself inspired. There's nothing spiritual about ignoring the Word of God under the guise that the Holy Spirit, who gives the Word of God, is leading you. So I want to briefly talk this evening and preach this evening on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the Bible and show that indeed they are bound together and cannot be separated. And I'm going to do so under five headings: inspiration, conviction, regeneration, sanctification, and then illumination. Inspiration, we'll see the Holy Spirit's work in giving the written Word. Conviction, the Holy Spirit's work in using the written Word to convict the sinner of his sin. Regeneration, the Holy Spirit's work in using the written Word to regenerate the sinner. Sanctification, the Holy Spirit's work in using the written Word to sanctify the believer. And then illumination, the Holy Spirit's work granting understanding to the believer of the truth of the written Word. And I've phrased all those things very carefully to say that in all those areas we see it's the Holy Spirit's work in using the Word of God. We will see again how His ministry in the life of the believer is indeed tied to and cannot be separated from the written revelation of God, the Bible. First of all, inspiration, the Holy Spirit's work in depositing to us the written Word. And I turn you to 2 Timothy 3:16. I know it's a familiar passage, but I think it's important for us to look and see these verses and even be reminded of various things that we say we already know. But in the light of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and His ministry through the Word, let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And so this verse tells us all Scripture is a specific technical term, not for just any type of revelation from God. God in times past spoke in various ways. Indeed, we know that there were those times where God did speak audibly to Abraham and to others, but He spoke through the prophets, and now in these last days He's spoken through His Son. And we'll see that that means that He has deposited to us through the apostles of our Lord and Savior, the written word of God. And when the Bible uses the word scripture, it's referring specifically to the written word. The Greek word is graphē. We get words like graphic from it, words that have to do with writing. And so when it says scripture, and you see that in your Bibles, it's not talking about just any type of revelation, but specifically the written word of God. And it says all scripture is inspired by God. And the words inspired by God are really one word in the Greek. We translate it inspired by God, but it is theopneustos in the Greek, comes from two Greek words, theos, the word for God, and neustos, it comes from pneuma, which means breath. And pneuma, as you know, is indeed also the Greek word for spirit. It means breath or wind or spirit, depending on the context of the passage. And so it tells us that all scripture, all the written revelation of God that has been deposited to us, is inspired by God. It comes from God. It is, literally speaking, it is understood and can be translated, God breathed. And that speaks of the source of the scriptures. It means that it is breathed out by God. It comes from Him. And even in the very words used, it brings to our minds the ministry of the Spirit, who is the breath of God, we could say, the Spirit of God. It is through His work that we have the scriptures deposited and given to us. So, what is the means by which this scripture is inspired or breathed out by God? Well, that is the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 20 and 21. How is it that the scriptures are inspired by God? What is the means of that inspiration? This is where we get even more specifically in the ministry of the Holy Spirit in depositing to us the scriptures, the written word of God. 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture, again, written word of God, is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of the human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Now, this talks about the work of the Holy Spirit in depositing the scriptures to us. It did not come by man's will, was not an act of the human will in verse 21. It was not a human enterprise or human undertaking. The authors were special men chosen of God. They were selected by God. They were prepared by God. And they spoke, it says, as they were, and penned these words of Scripture, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, it says. They spoke under the determining influence of the Holy Spirit, things which were not merely from themselves, but from God. And so the New American Standard says they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That means to be borne along by the Holy Spirit. The Greek word here means to carry, to bear, to drive as by the wind. This same Greek word is used in Acts 27, verse 15, when it says, "And when the ship was caught in it, in this storm, and could not face the wind, we gave way to it, and let ourselves be driven along." That's the word that's used. It's driven along. The ship was driven along by the wind. And so the idea here, when you understand that the work of the Holy Spirit is to drive along, they were borne along by the Holy Spirit, it's the idea that the Holy Spirit is guiding, controlling, and directing them. One writer says this, "What is born," B-O-R-N-E, "is taken up by the bearer and conveyed by the bearer's power, not its own, to the bearer's goal, not its own. The men who spoke from God are here declared, therefore, to have been taken up by the Holy Spirit and brought by His power to the goal of His choosing." Another writer says this, "The prophets raised their selves, so to speak, They were obedient and receptive, and the Holy Spirit filled them and carried their craft along in the direction He wished. So there's the idea here, that the Holy Spirit is involved in the inspiration of the Word. He is causing these men to be borne along as they pen the words of Scripture. Now, when we go back to John and we think about what Jesus promised, we understand that part of the ministry of the work of the Holy Spirit, specifically in the lives of the disciples, the apostles, was that He was to be a helper that indeed would be used by God to cause these men to pen the words of God in what we now hold in our hands. He is the Spirit of truth who would guide them into all truth. So in John 14, 26, for example, when Jesus said specifically to the disciples, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things." That's Jesus saying, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to send Him to you. And while obviously there's a ministry of the Holy Spirit to all believers, specifically for these disciples, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit, the Helper, is going to come and He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said. Now that is a specific application to the disciples. We don't take that and say, well, that's going to happen for us. If, you know, we would say, well, what's the need for Scripture memory? The Holy Spirit's going to bring to my remembrance everything that Jesus said. No, this is specific. This is a verse about inspiration in John 14, 26, that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, would teach the disciples all things and bring to their remembrance what Jesus said so that they could then pen those words and that we would have the Scriptures. John 16, verse 13, again, Jesus said, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth." Now, sometimes people take that and say, oh, that has application, or that's referring to all believers. But that has a very specific application in its context, where Jesus is saying the Spirit of truth is going to come, and to His disciples, He's saying to them, He will guide you into all truth. This has to do with the doctrine of inspiration. Not the doctrine of guidance for believers. There's so many times believers take that verse out of its context and say, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. That's what the Bible said. He's going to guide me into all truth. No, this was directed to the apostles. He's speaking of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and inspiration. The Spirit of truth will come. He will guide you disciples into all truth. He'll bring to your remembrance what I said, so that they might pen the words of Scripture, that indeed they might be the foundation, the apostles be the foundation of the New Testament church through the Word of God that they have deposited to us. And so we see this connection of the Holy Spirit with the Bible, the written Word of God. The written Word was given to us to be used. Who gave it to us? The Holy Spirit gave it to us. He deposited it to us. And so the ministry of the Holy Spirit is now a ministry using the completed, sufficient Scriptures which He has already revealed. And so we can say this: if you ignore the Bible, you are ignoring the Holy Spirit. He is the one who has given this to us. He is the one who caused those men who penned it to be borne along so as to pen the very words of God. And so if we ignore the Bible, we ignore the ministry of the Holy Spirit that is already there to be present in our lives as believers. Now, how does the Holy Spirit use the written Word of God? Well, we go from inspiration, the depositing of that written Word through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to conviction. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convict of sin. And the reason why I'm stating it that way is to very clearly say to you, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. That is His ministry. That is His work. He uses the Bible for what? To convict of sin. So from the very beginning, going back to your conversion to Christ, you will find the work of the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. In fact, no one is saved except through the work of the Holy Spirit in convicting sinners of their sin through the means of the written Word of God. Back in John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. John 16, verses 8 through 11. Jesus said again to the disciples, and he, when he comes, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And so now Jesus is speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit and convicting. He will convict concerning sin, it says in verse 9, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. So the Holy Spirit's work now is to convict the world of sin, their unbelief, convict them concerning righteousness, that they don't have it and they need it, and convict them of a coming judgment. And the ruler of this world has already been judged through the work of Christ as indeed a foretaste of the coming judgment in the last day. And so the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict. That word convict means to bring to light, to expose. The Holy Spirit is like a light that shines on the ugliness of our sin. He convinces. That's another meaning of that word. He convicts, he exposes, he convinces. That is, the Holy Spirit convinces people that they are sinners who transgress God's law. But here's the question. How does the Holy Spirit do this work of convicting? We know this is his work, but how does he do it? Well, the answer again is very clear. He does it through the revealed, written Word of God. So, 2 Timothy 3:16 again. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof. Now, that word reproof is the same Greek word for convict. It's just translated differently there. So we could say that all Scripture is inspired by God. We understand that means it's breathed out by God through what means? The Holy Spirit who caused these men to be born along so as to pen the very words of God. And now that Scripture is profitable for teaching, to instruct us in right doctrine, and for reproof. It's profitable for conviction and for correction and for training in righteousness. So we see, what is this book profitable for? For conviction. What is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Conviction. He convicts of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And that's what this book does. It is profitable for reproof, for conviction, exposing sin, convincing sinners of their sin and their need of a Savior. So again, we see, who convicts? Is it the Holy Spirit or is it the Word of God? And the answer is yes. It's the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. They cannot be separated. In James chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, James writes these words, "If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well." So here's James saying, look, here's what the Scripture, the written Word of God, commands. Here's the law of God. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do so, you're doing well. He says, but if you show partiality, you're committing sin and are convicted. Same Greek word, convicted by what? By the law as transgressors. You're convicted by the law, the written Word of God. You're guilty. You're to love your neighbors yourself. So if you show partiality, the law of God says guilty. He says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery but commit murder, you become a transgressor of the law. So what's the point there? James is saying this is what convicts. This is what shows our guilt. You say, well, I thought that was the work of the Holy Spirit to convict. And the answer is yes, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't separate the two. The Holy Spirit who inspired this word is the one who now uses it to convict of sin. That's why we preach the word. That's why there's no need for man's wisdom. That's why there's no need for preaching anything else, any other source. There's no need to fill a sermon with about whatever percent you want to say of nice stories and illustrations. Yes, you can use those to somehow expound upon and illuminate the truth of that, to give examples. I'm not saying there's not a place for that, but I'm saying this, that we're called to preach the Word because it's the Word of God that convicts, and it's the Word of God that the Holy Spirit uses to convict. And so 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove." That word means convict, same Greek word. "Rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." So Paul tells Timothy, you preach the Word, and he tells Timothy, you reprove, you convict. Now you say, is that the role of the preacher, the pastor, to convict of sin? He's not saying that is what you do, as if you have the power to do it, but you do it when you preach the Word of God reproves. Well, specifically, how does that happen? The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God to reprove, to convict, to expose and convince people of their sin. That's what happens when you were saved. That's what happened when you were saved. You were exposed. Your guilt was exposed by the truth of the Word of God. You were convicted of your sin. And that ministry of the Holy Spirit then continues for believers. He continues to convict us of sin as believers. So how do you know that the Holy Spirit is at work to bring a person to conviction and repentance? As you observe that in someone and you say, look, it seems as though this is the work of God. How would you know that it really is the work of the Holy Spirit that's bringing that conviction upon a person that leads to repentance? Well, you could ask this question. Do they understand how they've broken the commands of God in the Bible? What commands have they broken? What specifically in the Word of God has shown them their guilt? If they say, well, you know what? I haven't even read the Bible. You can say, then it's not the work of the Holy Spirit. Whatever's taking place in that person's life, if they're not reading the Bible, if they're not hearing the Word of God preached or in some way receiving the truth of the written Word of God, then it may look like conviction or repentance, but it is not the conviction and repentance that leads to life. It's not the work of the Holy Spirit. So you see, again, we can measure, we might say, whether or not it's the work of the Holy Spirit by the involvement of the Word of God in that person's life. And so the Holy Spirit convicts. The Word of God convicts because it is the Holy Spirit that uses the Word of God He inspired to convict. And we not only see the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit using the Word of God in conviction of sin, but also in regeneration. No one is saved except through the work of the Holy Spirit in making a person spiritually alive. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And so the sinner needs to be made alive. And now, who does that? Well, Ephesians 2, 4 says, but God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive. So it's God who makes us alive with Christ and saves us by His grace. Now, more specifically, when we say God does that, the Bible tells us that that is specifically the ministry of the third person of the Trinity who makes us alive, causes us to be born again, regenerates the spiritually dead sinner. So, look in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. By the way, this is one of the reasons why I chose the Gospel of John in the end rather than one of the other Gospels, because I thought I'm going to be preaching on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I'll touch on some of these things in the evening, but we're going to be going through so many passages in the Gospel of John that speak specifically to the person and work of the Holy Spirit. John 3, verses 3 through 8. Jesus answered and said to him, Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So this is the same as saying you have to be made alive, you have to be born again. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So now Jesus is saying, you have to be born of the Spirit. He says, born of water and the Spirit. They're just as a, by the way, there are those who use that verse to teach baptismal regeneration, that a person cannot be saved apart from the water being baptized. This is not a reference at all to water baptism. When it says, unless one is born of water and spirit, this is a figure of speech called hendiadys, which is saying the same thing by those two words. When the Bible says you were made in His image, in His likeness, image and likeness are two words that really mean the same thing. They're two different words referring to the same thing. That's what's taking place here. When He says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, He's using water as a figure of speech to the work of the Spirit. Going back to this teacher of the law should have known this, Exodus 36, verses 25 to 27, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. And so Nicodemus should have understood that this reference to the water is an Old Testament reference to the work of the Holy Spirit in the washing of regeneration. That was a figure of speech in the Old Testament, that the Holy Spirit would indeed be that figure of speech, that clean water that would wash you of your sins and regenerate you. And so he says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so here we see very clearly that not only is inspiration the work of the Holy Spirit, not only is then God using the Holy Spirit, using the word He inspired to convict, not only is that the work of the Holy Spirit, but now we see regeneration, being made alive, being born again, is a work of the Holy Spirit. Titus 3, verses 5 and 6 speaks of the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So regeneration, being born again, being made alive in Christ, all refer to the same thing. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to make alive those who are spiritually dead. Now, how does that occur? How does that occur? And what I'm doing now is saying, here's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. What is the means by which He accomplishes that? The answer again, the revealed written Word of God. That is how He does that. You say, where is that? Well, James 1:18 says this, in the exercise of His will, He brought us forth, and that phrase, brought us forth, is the idea of giving birth. He brought us forth by the word of truth. Now, James could just as well have said, and it would have been true, He brought us forth by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But here he's using the means by which the Holy Spirit makes us alive. He brought us forth by the word of truth. What's that? Is that a reference to? Ultimately, the written word of God. So that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among His creatures. Now listen to 1 Peter 1. Verses 22 and 23. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through, okay, here's the means by which we're born again, through the living and abiding Word of God. So the Scripture says you have to be born of the Spirit. You have to be made alive by the work of the Spirit. And the Scripture says you have to be born again by the Word of truth, by the living and abiding Word. Which is it? Do you see here very clearly that we would say it's both, because the Holy Spirit makes men alive. He regenerates them by the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convict sinners of their sin. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to cause sinners to be born again. By the way, there is no other way. There's no other way. It's through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit does not work independently of the Word of God. That is the purpose for which he has deposited it to us. That is the means by which he accomplishes these things. Anyone who separates the two, someone says, I was convicted of my sin, but I don't know anything about the truth of the Word of God. How do you even know what sin is? How do you know who God is? How do you know what salvation is? How do you know? It's through the written Word of God. Someone says, oh, this person's been born again. But again, you say, well, have you heard the gospel? Have you read it in the scriptures? No, I don't know anything about that, but I know I'm born again. No, not born again. Someone shares their testimony. Look, I was born again, but I didn't hear the gospel, the written word of God. Are you born again? No, not born again. You can say it. You can say any of those things. It doesn't matter what you say. The scripture teaches the Holy Spirit always uses the written word of God, whether it's proclaimed, read, or whatever form it is received. It is the Holy Spirit that uses the word of God, so you can't separate it. And so if a person claims to be a Christian without a knowledge of his sin, the holiness of God, the person and work of Christ, the gospel as revealed in the written word of God, he's deceived. The instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to convict of sin and make the sinner alive in Christ is the written word of God, the word of truth, the living and abiding word of God. Now, let me just make this application. If you are not alive in Christ, if you are still dead in your sins, what is my counsel to you? You had better read the Word of God. I've had people tell me before, you know, God just isn't doing anything in my heart, as if, you know, they're just sitting there and waiting for God to somehow do something. Are you reading the Word? I'm not reading the Word. Then you're going to be lost in your sin. There is no other way. And so if you're still dead in your sins, if you say, I'm not a believer, what can I do? What would you tell me to do? Open your Bible and read. That is what the Holy Spirit uses. There is no other way. Or you say, but I really don't see myself as a sinner. You had better avail yourself to the Word of God. Humble yourself and read the Bible. You will not be saved apart from the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to open your eyes. And brethren, in evangelism, use the Word of God, the Bible. That is what God uses. Your words of wisdom will not cause someone to be born again. It is only the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. So we see inspiration. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in depositing to us the written Word. We see conviction. What convicts? Who convicts? The Holy Spirit convicts. The Word of God convicts. They're bound together. Regeneration. Who causes men to be born again? The Holy Spirit. Through what means? Through the written Word of God. The fourth word, sanctification. We also see that the Holy Spirit is at work using the written Word of God now to sanctify the believer. Again, sanctification is that work of God, primarily the work of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, in making us more and more conformed to the image of Christ. We're sanctified, we're made holy. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to make you more like Christ. Let me show you this in the Bible again. Galatians chapter 3, first of all, Galatians chapter 3. I could preach a 5-minute sermon just tell you this, but again, that's not the point. I want to use the Word of God to convince you these things are true. This is what God's Word says, to bind your conscience. If you say, yes, this is what the truth says. This is what the Word says. Galatians 3, verse 3. The Galatians had misunderstood. They thought that being justified by the work of the Spirit, that then they could somehow be perfected, sanctified by the flesh. And so he says in Galatians 3, 3, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh, by your own efforts and works? It's still the work of the Spirit that now perfects us, sanctifies us, grows us to maturity. Look in Galatians 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16, he's elaborating on this. He's teaching them. He's saying, look, if you're going to grow in sanctification, it's not the work of the flesh, it's the work of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So you say, how is it that now as a Christian, I'm going to be sanctified? I understand it was through the Word of God that I was convicted. The Holy Spirit used it to cause me to be born again. Now what? Do I take my Bible and throw it out, or do I forget about the work of the Spirit? No, he says, now you walk by the Spirit. That's how you don't carry out the desires of the flesh. You must do it by the power of the Holy Spirit through His work. You have to humble yourself, realize it's not your work. But now you walk by, you live by the Spirit. And he tells of this battle in verse 17, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. And he tells, look, this is clearly, you know, these are deeds of the flesh. This is not sanctification. This is not holiness. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are things of the flesh. This is not sanctification. This is sin. But then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So we see from verses like this very plainly, how is it that we are going to be sanctified? Put to death the deeds of the flesh and walk in holiness. It is by the Spirit as He does His work so that we bear the fruit of the Spirit. It's the work of the indwelling Holy Spirit that causes the believer to grow in sanctification. Again, Ezekiel 36:27, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to do what? Walk in my statutes. Here's another connection. How are you sanctified? The work of the Spirit? Somehow independent of the Word of God? No, I will put my Spirit within you. And now you as a believer, as you walk by the Spirit, you're going to bear the fruit of the Spirit because my Spirit is going to cause you to walk in my what? Statutes. The written Word of God. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. So we can ask the question, how do we grow in holiness? How does sanctification take place? Walk by the Spirit. You could also say, how do we grow in holiness? Walk in my statutes. Observe my ordinances. Long for and obey the Word of God. Do you see the connection again? Walk by the Spirit. What does that mean? That means obey His statutes, the Word of God that the Holy Spirit has inspired, that He used to convict you of your sin in the first place and regenerate you. Now you don't separate the work of the Holy Spirit from the Word of God. That's how you're sanctified. You grow in respect to salvation, that is sanctification, as you long for the pure milk of the Word, 1 Peter 2, verse 2 says. So how do I walk by the Spirit? What's the answer to that? How do I walk by the Spirit? You walk by the Word. They're inseparable. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. The Word, the Scripture that the Holy Spirit has inspired is now profitable that you would be trained in righteousness and grow in sanctification. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. So you see, you go through the Bible. How do you grow in sanctification? By walking by the Spirit. How do you grow in sanctification? Verses say, walk by the word, obey the word, keep it according to your word. The Holy Spirit's ministry in the life of the believer is to use the written word of God to cause us to grow in sanctification. Now, let me do this. I'm going to have you turn to two passages while you hold your finger in one. We'll look at the other. Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5. I want you to look in those two passages because I want you to see this. And as you see this, it will become evident to you, you can't separate the Word from the Spirit. Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5, specifically Colossians 3, 16 and 17 and Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. When you read Colossians and you read Ephesians, in particular, as you get to the application aspect of the things that they're teaching, you see parallels. They're almost exact as far as what he's addressing and the content. And so in Colossians 3, he talks about setting our mind on things above. And in Ephesians 4, he talks about walking in a manner worthy of Christ, of God. And he begins to say, here's the application of all that. So look in Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So there's very clear instruction. Let the word of Christ, let Christ's word richly dwell within you. And that's not some mystical experience. That's through obedience. And as you do that, here's what's going to happen. You're going to, with all wisdom, be teaching and admonishing one another. How? With psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to the Lord. You're going to do everything, whether word or deed, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now look in Ephesians 5, 18, and keeping your finger in Colossians 3. Ephesians 5, 18. Parallel passage. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now look at verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And then both in Colossians beginning in verse 18 and in Ephesians 5 beginning in verse 22, 23, he starts talking about the roles of wives, husbands, children, slaves, those kinds of things. They're parallel passages. So you see very clearly in Colossians 3:17, this teaching and admonishing one another, how? With psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, thankfulness in your heart. You see that in Ephesians 5, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. See the parallel? Now, what does it say in Colossians 3:16 that must be taking place for that to happen? You have to let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. What does it say in Ephesians 5:18? Be filled with the Spirit. That, you say, which is it? Should I let the word of Christ richly dwell within me, or should I be filled with the Spirit? And the answer is, they're the same thing. How are you filled with the Spirit? You're filled with the Spirit as you let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And as you let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, you meditate upon and you obey, you live by the word of Christ, all that He has commanded, what He has deposited to us through the Holy Spirit's work, you're filled with the Spirit. So you see how the two thoughts are parallel? The word of Christ and the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit and letting the word of Christ dwell within you, are the same ideas. You see how when you look throughout the Scriptures that the work of the Spirit, the work of the Word, the Spirit using the Word are never separated. And so we see that in our sanctification. The Spirit uses the Word of God to sanctify us. So you can't say, well, the Spirit's working in my life. How's He working in your life? Are you in the Word? Are you hearing the Word preached? Are you obeying the Word of God? No, but He's at work. No, He's not. I'm ignoring the word. That's why, let me just tell you, pastorally, you can say it pastorally, you can say it as a parent, you can say it as a believer to believer. You're seeking to disciple people, you're seeking to lead them to obey all that Christ has commanded, and they claim that the Holy Spirit is at work in their life, and you say, can you tell me how He's at work in your life? What is it that the Word of God is doing to convict you of sin, to sanctify you, to grow you in holiness? Can you show me in the Word of God, what is it that God is using from His Word to do that? Well, I really, there's nothing. It's not through the Word He's doing that. And people are even, in some cases, disobedient to the Word, ignoring the Word, or ignoring those who are in their lives trying to tell them this is what the Word of God says, but yet they claim they're being led by the Spirit. No, they're not. You can't separate the two. I mean, you can, but you're not growing in sanctification. I mean, how is it that we're going to stand firm against the schemes of the devil? Well, Ephesians 6:17 says, and we're to take the sword of what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So in that imagery of the believer's armor, we take the sword of the Spirit. It's the Spirit's sword. What is the Spirit's sword? It is the Word of God. See, any other answer is wrong. Well, how are you standing firm and against the schemes of the devil? Well, it's by the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit of God strengthens me. How's he doing that? You've got to take the Spirit's sword. You've got to take the Word of God. You see it? They're bound together. Jesus prayed in John 17, 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So which is it? Are we sanctified by the truth, by the word, by the Bible, or are we sanctified by walking in the Spirit? And the answer is both. Why? Because the Holy Spirit uses the word he inspired to make his holy. But how is it that we can understand the word? That's the last word, illumination. Inspiration, conviction, regeneration, sanctification, illumination. How can we even understand the Word of God? That is the Holy Spirit's work. Granting us understanding so that we might understand the truth of the written Word. The doctrine of illumination, when we use that word, that's a theological term that's used for the Spirit's work in the Holy Spirit teaching us the Word of God. So that Psalm 119, verse 18 says, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. The psalmist is saying, open my eyes. I want to understand. It illumined my understanding. I want to behold wonderful things of your law. Now notice the psalmist was not looking for something else to be revealed to him. He wasn't asking for his eyes to be open to what the Holy Spirit might show him independently somehow. No, he's saying, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things in your law, what's already been given. How is it that our eyes are open to understand the Word of God? That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the words of 1 Corinthians 2, 12 to 16. But now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom. See, again, it's not men's wisdom. It's men as they're born along by the Spirit. But in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual, that is, the Holy Spirit has used his word to convict, regenerate. He who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How is it that we have the mind of Christ and understand the truth of the written word of God? It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He illumines our minds to understand the Word of God. So do you see how, and that's just some examples, we could go further. We could talk about the proclamation of the Word of God and how the Holy Spirit attends to the proclamation of the Word. We could talk about any area of the Christian life. It is the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. And so we see that the Holy Spirit's ministry is bound to the written revelation of God, the Scriptures. He inspired the written word. He convicts and regenerates the sinner by means of the written word. He sanctifies through the written word. The Holy Spirit illuminates the written word to the believer. You cannot separate the two. And to do so will lead you to spiritual ruin. It will lead you astray. We know that. We say to forsake the Word of God is dangerous. We don't want to do that. But yet practically so many people seek the leading, guiding of the Holy Spirit in some way apart from the Word of God. And when you do that, it's not the Spirit of God that's leading you. You can just say that clearly, completely. When someone forsakes the written Word of God, it's not the Holy Spirit that's leading you. You test those spirits by the word, you'll find that it's a spirit not of God, but a spirit of the adversary himself. So, brethren, we go back to the sufficiency, the authority of the written word of God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The two always go together. He did not inspire his word for it to be put aside and then be seeking him, the Holy Spirit, who inspired it, through some other means. He didn't give it to us and say, look, This is my work. And then we say, I understand that, but I want you to speak to me through another means. I want you to convict me through another way. I want you to sanctify me through some other means. No, this is it. So, brethren, beware of separating the ministry of the Holy Spirit from the Bible. When you think ministry of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, always think Bible. Because the Holy Spirit is bound to the Scriptures in His work in our lives. Let's pray together. Father, we need our eyes opened even to understand the treasure that we have. Because even still in our fallen nature, we can begin to pervert the means by which we are sanctified. We can, as fallen, sinful human beings, even as believers, stray from your word. Father, as we seek to be led by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit, and I pray that we would understand that all of those things take place as the Holy Spirit uses the Word He inspired. God, may we not have mystical ideas about how we're led by the Spirit, beliefs that would lead us to be forsaking the Word or pushing it aside and seeking some experience from the so-called Holy Spirit, in that case, apart from the Word. God, help us to understand that is not what happens. And when we do that, we grieve the Holy Spirit. And we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, but we place ourselves in a very real spiritual danger. God, help us to take, as we live the Christian life, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and live by it, and be content as believers to understand that that is the means by which we grow. That is the means that the Holy Spirit uses. God, may we not think we're wiser than the Holy Spirit. But God, may we love the Word that He has inspired. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's stand together for our benediction. We could have spent time asking the question, how is it that we're kept in the faith? It's the work of the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. And now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory blameless with great joy. To the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.